Right. So, I hope everybody had a very, very meaningful Tisha B'Av. And we're going to talk a little bit about Tisha B'Av, the connection between Tisha B'Av and the Shabbos that's coming up, which is Shabbos Nachamu. Right? Okay. Before we get to that, there's another subject I'd like to talk about for a minute. So, you have it? Okay. Yeah, thank you. Shkoyach, thank you. Okay, so I heard a very interesting story this week that I'd like to share with you. Some of you might have heard it. I don't know. But it's like this. We know that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we spoke a lot about it on Tisha B'Av, and there were Chofetz Chaim videos on it, and we've been talking about it a lot for years, was that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three Averos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, and Gilui Arayos, and that destruction was only for 70 years. And the second Beis HaMikdash, which is still destroyed, was because of Sinas Chinam. I'm sure a lot of you learned the story of Kamtzah Bar Kamtzah. The wrong guy showed up, he got the invitation, and the owner, of the one who was making the party, wanted to throw him out. And he said, I'll pay for his meal, don't throw me out. And he said, nope. He said, I'll pay for half of everyone's meal here in this party. And he said, nope. He said, I'll pay for the whole party, just don't embarrass me. And he said, nope. And the Chachamim were sitting there, they didn't do anything. And then the whole thing, he went to the emperor, and they made a mum on the carbon. There was somebody called Rabbi Zachariah. He made a mistake. He should have allowed the carbon because of Pekuach Nefesh, but he was scared what everybody else would say. Everybody else would make the mistake, which happens to be a very interesting thing that I heard. It's an interesting thing. If you look at the story, so when they brought the animal to them to bring on the Mizbeach, it had a mum. It was a mum in a place that not everybody saw, but there was a mum, and they didn't know if they should bring it on the Mizbeach or not. Now, this was coming from the king. Now, the king's sending a sacrifice, and you're not putting it on the Mizbeach. That's what happened. He came down and destroyed Klal Yisrael. So they went to this rabbi, Rabbi Zachariah, and Zachariah said, if you're going to bring this carbon with a mum on the Mizbeach, so everybody is going to think that you're allowed to bring a mum on the Mizbeach. Right? Very nice. So, therefore, we don't want the rest of Klal Yisrael to make the mistake. They're going to see this animal with a mum, and they're going to say, oh, there's a new rule. You're allowed a mum is a blemish. So, you know, a blemish. So, I'm sorry I didn't explain that. Right. A mum is a blemish. The ear's cut off. There's like certain cuts in certain areas. Those are called a mum, a blemish. And therefore, Rav Zachariah said that Klal Yisrael, the Jews are going to make a mistake. They're going to say, you're allowed to bring a mum on the Mizbeach. And that's what took down the whole Jewish nation. He came back, this Bar Kamtzah, and he told the Roman emperor, you see, the Jews don't want your sacrifices, they don't want to have any part of you. And then he said, and they're against you, and they're rebelling. And he came and he destroyed everybody. Now, let's look at this story for a minute. Look at the paradox. Rabbi Zechariah was worried, so now you're a Degavart. Rabbi Zechariah was worried what everybody would say. And the Avera that they did was that they didn't worry what this one person who was going to be insulted in public, how he feels. So the mistake that Zechariah, he made a mistake, the rabbi, he paskin wrong. The mistake he made was because the Avera that we did was we weren't worried about somebody's feeling. Now all of a sudden Shemayim said, oh, now, Rabbi, now you're worried what all the Jews are going to feel, what they're going to say? Where were you guys when this guy got insulted? When this guy got hurt? So you're going to paskin, you're going to have the wrong Ruach HaKodesh. You're going to paskin the wrong halacha. You're going to paskin the wrong halacha, which is going to take all the Jews down. You're worried about a mum. Listen, boys, it's very important. You're worried about a mum on an animal? What about a mum on a human being that you're making? When you hurt somebody, when you insult somebody, when you say Moitzi Shemra about somebody, you say something that isn't true, or if you say something that is true, it's very interesting. Every time I teach Hilchos Lashon Hara, right? So the girls say to me, but it's true! I said it was, what I said was true! Hello, Lashon Hara is true, guys. Let's get this straight in the camera. Lashon Hara is when you say something true, bad about someone else. Moitzi Shemra is when you say something that isn't true about someone else. So then you're saying Lashon Hara, plus you're making up a lie. So that's even worse. And Rechilas is when I tell you what he told me, about you, which causes the two of you to fight. So, listen to what happened here. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the wrong answer to Rabbi Zachariah, because you're worried what everybody's going to say about a blemish on an animal, while you guys are making a blemish on a person. This poor guy got thrown out down the front steps, and he was willing to pay for the whole thing. And that was the destruction. That's Tisha B'Av. That's why we sat on the floor, and we cried, and we fasted, and that's why Nebuch was still sitting in Gullus, and there's cancer, and there's problems in Shalom Bayis, and there's people who are having a problem having children, and the Parnassa is getting very hard, and the whole thing is going down. Why? Because we weren't sensitive to somebody else's feelings. So there's an amazing story that's been going around for the last few months about Rav Chaim Kanievsky in Eretz Yisrael. That there was a couple, it's an amazing story, there was a couple who came to him and they didn't have children for, I believe, 20 years. So they were in their 40s. And they were despondent, they were beyond themselves. And they came to Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim always, you know, gives you a bracha, tzlachem bracha. You know, that's usually the bracha you get. Tzlachem bracha, you get two words. But from Rav Chaim, those two words. And I once said to Rav Chaim, could the Rav like give me like a bigger bracha? And he said to me, Hatzlachem bracha covers everything. You know, what do you need more than that? So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not arguing. So they came to him, they said, listen, we don't have children for 20 years. And we know if the Rav gives a haftacha or a bracha, that it's going to come true. We need, give us a bracha to have at least one child. And Rav Chaim said, I can't help you, which is unusual for him. He said, I can't help you. So they were devastated. So they said, so you're telling us that we're never going to have children? He says, I'll tell you what you should do. He says, find a person who's insulted in public, who got insulted in public and never answered back. Because a person who gets insulted in public and doesn't answer back and says he's kind of olam haba b'shoach, he's kind of olam haba in a second, number one. And number two, a person who's marvel midos, if he's able to control his midos, right, that he's on such a high level that he should give you a bracha. So find someone that's insulted in public and doesn't say anything. Now, of course, you can't go around, you know, hey, you insult him and then you give me the bracha. That's not what Rav Chaim was saying over here. Okay, that's the story. By the way, there's a famous story, the Chafetz Chaim. I always teach this in my the first day I teach Chafetz Chaim in a lesson a day. So there's a true story with the Chafetz Chaim that he used to go speak in some shul. I don't know. He used to go speak in places and he came to some shul and he spoke and the president of the shul didn't like what the Chafetz Chaim said at all. So at the end of the shmooze, he got up and he made fun of the Chofetz Chaim in public, which is, you got to be out of your mind. But of course, when you have a tzaddik, you don't know what he is. And Chofetz Chaim is much bigger today than he was when he was living. He was very big when he was living, but we didn't know what we had. Just like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, you know, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, everybody shakes when you say Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, right? He had a little yeshiva on the east side. How many people, my daughter, right? We grew up with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. I never went to one of his shiurim. I never went to the east side to hear Rabbi Moshe Feinstein give a shir. I never went to one of his shmuzin. Because who knew where we were? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, another Rosh Hashiva. You don't realize what you have, like everything else in life, until you don't have it anymore. So, now after Chofetz Chaim walked in, there'll still be some presidents maybe that in the wrong places. But Lamaisa, he embarrassed Chofetz Chaim huge in front of everybody. Okay. I believe that it was on a Thursday night he gave the shir. Friday, someone comes to deliver something to this president, and he says, how can I help you? And he says, I'm a messenger from the Chofetz Chaim. So he taka felt a little bad what he did, whatever. So he says, how can I help you? He says, the Chofetz Chaim said I should give this to you. And he gave him a silver cup. Small, banged up, a little shtickle, you know, but a silver cup. The man said, the Chofetz Chaim sent this for me? He said, yes. Gets into his wagon, he's got, I insult the Chofetz Chaim, and he sends me a silver cup. So, okay, he comes to the Chofetz Chaim, and he says to the Chofetz Chaim, Rabbi, I don't understand. Why would you send me a present after I embarrassed you in public? So this is what the Chofetz Chaim, The Chofetz Chaim said, a person doesn't know if he's gonna get Olam Haba or not. You give shiurim, maybe you like, maybe there's a little bit like, you know, the guys say thank you, or they call you up afterwards, you get a good email, wow, what a shiur, you know, so you feel good. So that wipes out a lot of your shir, you know, because if you don't do it l'shem shemayim 100%, the malachim in the next world, whatever you do, they will like to rip it up to pieces. Right? So it's very hard to do something, you know, mamish, whole, 100%, you know, l'shem shemayim. So Chavot Chaim said, Mishneh Brura, I'm writing. Hilchos Lashon Hara, I'm writing. Torah, I'm learning. But I don't know what they're going to do in Shemayim to all my Mishneh Brura and my Torah and everything. Maybe they'll say the Chofetz Chaim had a little covered. He says, but until I met you, he said, you gave me the ticket to Gan Eden. You embarrassed me in front of the whole shul, and I didn't answer you. And it says that a person who's embarrassed in front of everybody and doesn't answer goes straight to Gan Eden. He says, I apologize. Chofetz Chaim said to this president, I apologize that I was a very poor man. And I mamish sold every little piece of furniture that I had left to buy you this cup. But if I had more money, I don't know how to repay you. You got me, not the Mishnah Berurah got me into Olam Haba, not the Chofetz Chaim, Shmir Taloshin got me into Olam Haba. You insulted me. You got me into Olam Haba. I love you. This is all I have for you. You can imagine how that man felt. You understand? But a person who gets embarrassed in public and doesn't answer, so whatever, I got myself into some situation lately, whatever it is, I'm not going to get into it, but I felt a little hurt, whatever it was. So I went to my Rav, and I said to him, I'm a human, I'm a little bit hurt about the situation. So this is what he tells my Rav, Rabbi Weinfeld. He says to me, listen to me. He says, it says by Pinchas, it's on the same tune, but Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyen, so it says, Heshev es Chamasi, and Hashem, Pinchas Eliyahu, right? Hashem gave him the bris of shalom, of peace, which is also shalom, full. So it says that when Pinchas killed Zimri, so the whole Shevet Shimon got up and said, who do you think you are, right? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyen, who do you think you are to kill a Nasi, right? You come from a father, right, who was Paiti. Eliezer married one of the other daughters of Elazar HaKoyen married one of the daughters of Yisrael, where they said, your grandfather or your father was the one who, and Rashi brings it down, who stuffed the animals to make them fat for Avodah Zarah. They mamish embarrassed Pinchas in public to try to kill him. They embarrassed him. They said, you're from Potiel. You're from nowhere. How dare you kill a Nasi? So why do you need to have that embarrassment? So Rav said, the Brisi Sholem was that after, when Pinchas killed him, so he could have felt like, you know, I'm a Kanoi. Like I'm a, stood up for God. So Hashem made sure that Shevet Shimon would publicly, totally decapitate him, totally embarrass him, start talking about where he comes from and who do you think you are. And that way, that when Hashem would reward him, Pinchas was very embarrassed, it says. He put his head down, he was very embarrassed. Mamish embarrassed him. And because he was embarrassed, he got nothing out of the deed that he did. Not only didn't get a thank you, right? He got it over the head so that he would get a complete payment, which is Pinchas is Elio. He became Elio Navi. So, boys, when you get embarrassed, right, by people, instead of, I know it's a very hard thing to do, but instead of getting angry, right, you should say thank you. Because if you embarrass me in public and I don't answer, that's my way into Gan Eden. I spoke about this a long time ago. Some of us, and I'm not talking about anyone specifically here, have a problem with kas. And there's many Sifrei Musar that talk about kas. Kas is anger. A lot of guys go from 0 to 60 in less than 4.2. You understand? You tell them something they don't like, as long as you tell them what they like, you know, and it's they get very upset. You know, they blame it on Kohanim. I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that came from. Kohanim, you know, it says there's three things about Kohanim in the Gemara. It says that we have bad stomachs. It says that we have hot feet. And it says that we like to eat meat. And they used to have a doctor in the Beis HaMikdash all the time, because the Kohen, all he did all day is eat meat. You know, that's what we ate. We ate meat. Roasted lamb, roasted. That's what we did, was eat meat. So our stomachs, you know, there was no milchiks, you know, like, okay, we'll go for milchiks for breakfast in the Beis HaMikdash. There was no pizza, and there was no scrambled eggs, and there was, you know, there was none of this. There wasn't even salad. It was meat and meat and meat and meat and a little bit lechem aponim, a little starch, you know, a little. It wasn't like, you know, not totally protein. You know, you had a little lechem aponim, which was very filling. But lemaisa, so the Gemara says that the Kohanim used to eat meat and meat, and they talk about bad stomachs from it. They talk about bad stomachs. You keep eating roasted meat, and that their feet were always very hot because the floor was stone, so it was very cold. So Kohen, in my family, before anyone gets near the table, the shoes are off ready. Your feet are hot. Kohanim's feet are hot. That's, you know, it's one of the things to protect us from cold floors. And my father, in the 9 days, totally suffered. He had, and I also, I mean, I happen to be lactose intolerant, but we don't like milchiks at all. We have no interest in eating, you know, dairy at all. My father, l'shalom, he was very into the halacha. So the halacha is that if you eat malava malka, a whole year fleishiks, like every night, every matzah Shabbos, you sit down and you eat chicken or meat, eat fleishiks, then in the 9 days, matzah Shabbos, in the 9 days, you're allowed to eat fleishiks for malava malka. So my father ate every single matzah Shabbos fleishiks, and when everybody was eating milchiks because it's matzah Shabbos, he would sit down and say, oh, if you would have eaten fleishiks the whole year, matzah Shabbos, you would be able to eat fleishiks with me. That's the halacha. No, don't ask. Trust me, I'm not making it up. That's the halacha. So,
you would always have fleishiks during the 9 days of
skiing. I think the halacha, you can take on your chumah, whatever chumah you want to take on. Chumah. But that's what my father did, and I'm sure that if we look it up, we'll find out that if you had fleishiks all the time, you're allowed to have fleishiks. Anyway. I know a lot of guys that eat milchiks and they're not kohanim and they get very angry. So where does this whole thing come about kohanim being angry? Where does it come from? So it's the opposite of our nature. Our nature, the Mishnah says, that the Talmidim of Aaron HaKohen, the children of Aaron, and the students of Aaron HaKohen, who is his, and his students, and our DNA is Oyev Shalom, Oyev Shalom. You don't get angry. You love to make peace. Everything's peace, peace, peace. You know, everything's peace. So where does this come from? So where it comes from is that the Kohanim were very on edge about two things. When they were in their Beis HaMikdash on their Mishmar, when they were working, if you thought in your mind, if a Kohen was working and he thought for a second how the Yankees are doing, right? The carbon's puzzled. If he thought the carbon was a kachet kalim, right? A holy of holy, and it was a kachet kalim, and it was a kachet kedoshim, the carbon was no good. His mind had to be focused completely on what he was doing. He couldn't spill the blood. He had to be perfect. So they were very uptight and nervous, especially on Yom Kippur, but every time they did it, because here you're bringing me your animal. It wasn't Stam, you know, a $5 piece of steak. You're bringing me an animal of carbon. If I have a wrong thought, your carbon is no good. I ruined your carbon. $100, $200, $300, maybe the only animal you have. Who knows what? And it may be a common shlomim where your whole family's getting fed from it. So I'm your shliach. So they were very nervous when they were doing the avoda, because the avoda had to be perfect. And the other thing that they were very uptight about was tumah. Was becoming tumah. Because if I have 2 weeks to work in the Beis HaMikdash, right, and your tumah or someone's tumah touches me, and you know, and there's 7 days, there's 1 day, depending on what the tumah is, they were very nervous not to become tumah. My father would say it's in the DNA of a Kohen not to go to a Levi or to Beis HaKfaros. That a Kohen, his neshama should be scared to become tumah. The Kohen is a little bit different. So, from that uptightness of these two things, people began to say that, oh, Kohanim are uptight, Kohanim are angry, Kohanim are... Aaron HaKohen was Vayidom Aaron. Vayidom Aaron. In the worst situation, he sat there quietly. So, you know, I know a lot. So it's not, I'm not going to get into Kohen and not Kohen. The bottom line is that kas, that anger, the very terrible thing in a family where the father is a kaisen, where the father is angry and there's yira in the house, that says that house is not going to work out. The kids are not going to grow up correctly. The wife is scared. Everybody is scared. This guy has a short fuse. You know, they talk about you like you're a piece of dynamite. You know, he has a short fuse and he's going to explode. So kas, anger, is something that a person has to work on. Now, you can go to anger management, right? And you can sit in front of a therapist. And I never went to anger management. And I think they tell you to count to 100 backwards and forwards and count sheep and count that. Well, let me tell you something. When a guy's angry, sheep's a hen, sheep's a hare. You ain't counting sheeps, and you're not counting to 100. unless you're counting how many times you're punching that person. But otherwise, you're not counting to 100. So it's a very hard thing to overcome. Anger is a very hard thing to overcome. And it's brought down in all the Svarim that anger is avoid zara. It's avoid zara. Because when you get angry at someone, you're not serving Hashem. If you're serving Hashem, you can't get angry at somebody. So I'd like to help you guys out tonight. I don't know who has anger problems, who doesn't. But I'll tell you a little bit something that a Rebbe saved my life. And it's not my subject matter. I'm totally off my subject. But this is what's meant to be. So somebody must be angry in this room. So he has to hear this. So listen carefully. I was a hockey player. And I was a basketball player. And I was an athlete. And I played to win. My coach said, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose. It's supposed to be it's how you play the game. He would say, it's whether you win. That was my coach. You understand? That's how I grew up. So you had to win. And I had a short fuse. I had the most penalty minutes on my team in hockey, right? A guy once in the Beis Medrash, and I don't have to tell you all my secrets, but a guy in the Beis Medrash in Yeshiva, in I must have been in 11th, 12th grade, said something to me that he shouldn't have said, and I punched him one in the face in the Beis Medrash, and I just lost it. Now, maybe it's because I'm a kain, I don't know. I had a temper problem. I did. And my Rebbe saw that this Wallerstein kid, you know, you look at him the wrong way, you say the wrong thing, he thinks he's on the ice all the time, you know? Drop the stick and hit the guy, you know, that's what he thinks. So my Rebbe started to talk to me about anger. And how do you get rid of anger? It's very nice. It's wrong and count to 10. But Lamaisa, that blood goes running up your neck, you know? And how do you get rid of it? So he taught me something amazing. And Baruch Hashem, from that day on, Baruch Hashem, I didn't hit anybody. I didn't yell at anybody. And it taught me a whole new thing, and it saved me many, many times. Anger is an emotion. It's an emotion. An emotion, you have to do something with it. An emotion, you cannot just put it in your, you know, in a closet somewhere, in your heart or somewhere. You have to do something with emotions. So my Rebbe said to me, a bad emotion, it's an emotion. You hate somebody. You hate something, right? It's a bad emotion, unless you're hating the bad things, right? So you need to take that hate and turn it into love. You mean, as a Rebbe, if you're talking to a kid and he says, so what? Who cares? What's that famous word this generation has? Yeah. Whatever. Oh, I love that word. You're like, yeah. 20 minutes you're talking to the kid, he's like, yeah, so whatever. You're like, oh my goodness, what a word. That word, whatever, is like throwing you out the window. Like, you just don't mean anything, right? So when you have a kid who says whatever, don't waste your time teaching him, because there's nothing there. When you have a kid that hates you, I just told someone the story of my first talking to a girl at risk, which happened 7 years ago on a Tisha B'Av night. The whole Ornava, the whole thing started 7 years ago on a Tisha B'Av night. Don't ask me why it happened on a Tisha B'Av night, but I was asked to speak. And I spoke, and then I was asked to go to Judah's place. Judah's place was a place on Quentin where they had kids after doing drug rehab. So there were a bunch of girls there and a bunch of guys there. And they said, they called them in. It's a Jewish place. They weren't all religious, whatever. And they called them in and they said, we're going to have a guest speaker at 12 o'clock midnight. Midnight, and they told me to go speak. I knew nothing about kids on drugs. I never saw a tongue ring before in my life. I never saw kids with tattoos. I mean, I dealt with kids that weren't religious, but I didn't deal with this stuff, right? And it started that long, long time ago, and I walked in there. Talk about anger. There's a lot of anger in that room. They didn't like rabbis because they all went through the street. These were kids that went through a lot of abuse, not from the rabbis, but went through a lot of abuse after jumping out of school. And the last person at 12 o'clock midnight they wanted to meet is a rabbi. So these silly guys told them, Rabbi Wallerstein was coming. I said, just tell him Wallerstein, Zach, I don't know, use a nickname. He's coming to talk to you guys. Why would you tell them rabbi? So before I walked in there, right, all the blades were out already. You know, the blades were out. It was like, are we going to carve them this way, like a turkey or like a duck or like a chicken? How are we going to carve them? But they were all ready to carve me when I walked in there. And talk about anger. There was a lot of anger in that room. And I was just telling someone about it today. And, you know, I walked in there and I saw this, and there was this 14 and a half year old girl, and she was really angry. She had whatever reason, not reason. And she was going to take the rabbi down in front of everybody so that this lesson that the rabbi is going to give is not going to last more than 30 seconds. So there was a challenge. I walked in. It was a challenge. A 14-and-a-half-year-old girl. Tongue rings, ear rings, nose rings. There was rings coming out of her forehead. Hello? You know what I mean? It was like, whoa. I walked in. I was like, whoa. Like, who got me into this? You know, I never did this before. And she gets up, and she looks me in the face. Now everybody's sitting out there. They're like, okay, let's see what happens here. And this anger comes out of her. Mama, like, the blood was coming out of her eyes. And she says, I'm not sure I'm going to use the words, right? She goes, blank you, Rabbi. Not like that. Screaming at me. And blank Judaism, and blank God. Now, in my whole life, I never heard such a thing. I'm a Rebbe for a long time, and, what do you answer? So this person's angry. And I'm like, Hashem, help me now, please. You know, I didn't have a Bluetooth, but I was hoping you'd like, what am I going to do? All the kids are watching, like, okay, Rabbi, now what are you going to say, right? So I looked at her, and Hashem sent me the most beautiful message.